welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Before we go to my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, let's bring on Serna. Good morning, Serna. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, it looks like
that. Oh, we lost her. Okay.
Yeah.
So Dr. Craig, good morning to you, Executive Director of Citizen Action. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Earl. How you doing?
I'm doing really fine, Dr. Craig. The more I hear from Tim Michaels, the more, you know, there's something about the people that the Republicans look to represent them. They could have gone anywhere, Dr. Craig. They sought out a man who you look at, and this is no knock on, or maybe it is a knock on some used car salesman that I've had to deal with in my life. Maybe not anybody else. I'm not going to say all, but some of them that I've had to deal with. Why do they always find a guy that's a used car salesman that you don't feel comfortable with?
It is interesting. I mean, we know he's a shapeshifter. He's like the used car salesman who his favorite car in the lot is whatever car he thinks he might be able to sell you,
right?
And because we know that he has changed his positions dramatically to become the MAGA candidate to get the blessing from Mar-a-Lago of Donald Trump, and that he'll therefore, which is, makes him very Trumpy, do anything for power. And there's also a sense, I mean, quite frankly, this is what's scary about the, I mean, it's very charitable of the president to call them only pseudo-fascist. I would say they're pre-fascist in the sense that we haven't gotten the death camps yet, but if you gave them full control, all bets are off. But there's a meanness to it. It's always like a criterion that you have to be nasty and mean. Why would this vilification of the most powerless among us, you know, families, desperate families coming from Mexico and Central America to get a living for their families because they can't get their own countries and they face dangerous conditions, right? To make them the enemy as evil, as a parasite, that's how they're treated, right? Like an infestation, right?
You're right.
It's just gross, especially coming from a powerful, wealthy person who has the amount of privilege, not only in this country, but in terms of world history, in terms of the world now. I mean, anyone who is rich in the United States in the 2020s is frankly one of the richest people in the history of humanity, because that's where a whole lot of the wealth in world history is now. So it's just gross, right? It is really what I've heard described, Earl, as a kiss up, kick down philosophy. So he kisses up to Donald Trump, and Anthony gets in power, and he kicks down on people weaker than himself, and that's supposed to be a leadership virtue.
You know, Dr. Craig, to say that, you know, people have a right to do what they want to do and be whoever they want to be in their homes, just don't bring it out in society, as he was referring to people LGBTQ, that he can make a statement like that publicly. You know, how is it? We already know in the short period of time, I do at least, from hearing the commercials and hearing, Tim Michaels being in the debates and those kinds of things, I already know who he is, right? I mean, we know what kind of person he is. And so is that the kind of person that we really need at this juncture in this state and in this country? Certainly there are people on the right. They handpicked him. You know, he talks as if he has some connection with the average person in this country. He knows what's going on in Wisconsin when he hasn't spent time here. Children didn't go to school here. You know, and we know that he hasn't. This is not his real home. He may have been born here, but it's not where he really does the things that he does. So, you know, is that what we're looking for?
Well, it's not what we should be looking for. And we know what kind of agenda he'll pursue.
Right.
We know he will undermine the public education system by universalizing the failed voucher system, which is simply a conspiracy to undermine one of the great accomplishments in U.S. history, the creation of universal free K through 12 education that's public and is accessible and an entitlement to all. This is being undermined. That he's going to take away public control of public schools from the largest Black and Brown community in our state by far, Milwaukee. And break it up into little segments, this Alberta Darling bill. That's just disgusting. We know that he will further raid the Treasury to give tax dollars back to those who are already doing the best in our society and make income inequality even worse. We'll know he'll do nothing on skyrocketing health care costs or lack of access to health care, racial disparities in health, the fact that most middle-class people are so worried about huge medical bills that they're avoiding necessary care, medications, et cetera, let alone working class and lower income people. And he'll certainly do nothing to prevent a climate catastrophe. He'll undermine the beginning steps that Tony Evers has started doing. And we're at a time when we have a deadline, when we have to cut fossil fuel emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, almost in half by 2030, or it's going to be genocidal consequences for the world. So it goes on and on. You can imagine we only have to imagine what his criminal justice system will look like in this state. We know that he will make this a police state when it comes to cooperating with ICE and other authorities to try to make life absolutely miserable for people who are important parts of this community, that is immigrant workers, right, who are doing vital jobs and just trying to get ahead and live the American dream. So it goes on and on, Earl. But I think you have to be a pretty bad person to support all of that and to morph into a Trump candidate. But I think the final thing, Earl, I should say is, he cannot be trusted, he and a Republican legislature, to certify the correct winner of the 2024 election. So he's a threat to democracy, and that's why Trump supports him, because he thinks he is trustworthy in that regard.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was saying before we went to break, you look at Ron Johnson, who we've seen now for 12 years, and he's a vestige of that time, bygone times now, with Ron Johnson, Rance Priebus and Scott Walker and the speaker, I can't think of his name right now, from Janesville, Paul Ryan. And
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, and you know, those guys, Ron Johnson is the last one of them left. And so it's time to close the chapter on him and start a new chapter in the state. I was talking about earlier that there seems to be a sliver of hope that we may see some changes on the state level with some Republicans willing to do at least, or talking as if they want to at least maybe begin to open some doors of communication. We've got to do away with those that are left who shut down the state and caused the rift that we've been dealing with in the state for far too long, Dr. Craig.
Well, the scary thing is that the further generation of Republicans is too extreme for a lot of those Republicans that did that. I mean, it really is like the cancer is getting worse, to use that metaphor. And so, or they've morphed. Like Ron Johnson ran very differently when he first ran for U.S. Senate than the person he has become, than the person who attempted to convey two sets of fake electors to Vice President Pence, and then tried to blame his chief of staff for it. So he did not sound that way back in 2010. And, you know, he's benefited Ron Johnson from running in two perfect elections for him to be elected, 2010 and 2016. He has not hit an election that where there was turbulence in the broader atmosphere. Now he looks like that's happening because Republicans have been so successful at both bottling up President Biden's agenda and taking power through gerrymandering, through the courts, through this packed U.S. Supreme Court, that the public doesn't see the Democrats fully as the incumbents, which is why this has become a 50-50 race. But as you know, here's the dangerous thing. They're going to have trouble defining Tony Evers. He has 98% name recognition. They're going to try to define, and they've already started, Mandela Barnes as completely unacceptable, as unelectable, and even worse than Ron Johnson for a lot of voters. And it's already getting gross, and parts of the media are cooperating.
Yeah.
Coming out with fake stories.
So, Dr. Craig, yeah, I want to make sure when we come back, because I talked about it a little bit on yesterday and Dan Bice and how disingenuous he is, the last couple articles he wrote on Mandela Barnes. I thought Dan Bice was a little more independent than that, but you know, he certainly is showing that he's willing to say and do anything to support the Republican candidate. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. On the air, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, Ron Johnson, it speaks volumes that a sitting United States Senator, two terms, is trailing a first-time candidate in Mandela Barnes, with all the money that the Republican Party has and Ron Johnson has, it speaks volumes of the fact that Ron Johnson is out of touch and that there are people who've had enough of him. And, you know, this is really David taking on Goliath. And David is thus far is doing pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean that's why they're going to try to scare the living heck out of a lot of white voters about Mandela Barnes.
Right.
Look, not only is Ron Johnson deeply unpopular, he is considered not to be someone who's looking out for people like us in polls, which is a devastating thing for a candidate for public office. And it's true. So the attack on him, which we've helped at Citizen Action convey, that he is responsible for getting an additional loophole in the Trump tax cuts that made a huge $80 million payout to two billionaires in Wisconsin who also have given $20 million to his reelection effort through independent expenditures and dark money. That is just flat out corruption. And actually, it helps him as well. And I saw that another national group has put that on the airwaves in Wisconsin. And I think, and obviously, he just doesn't have any good sense. I mean, not even the most crazed right-wing politician would threaten Social Security and Medicare.
I know
you can't see any. There's no political benefit to it. It's just got to be what he believes, right? And so, and he's been disavowed multiple times by the Mitch McConnells of the world. Mitch McConnell does nothing that doesn't build power for Mitch McConnell, and a lot of what Ron Johnson does is nonsensical and actually counterproductive for his own power and political career. So what they do if they have to make Mandela Barnes completely unelectable, and they've already started, they have ads up. Ron Johnson campaign ads, they're not dark money ads that he can claim he has to do with, trying to say that Mandela's going to join the squad and showing scary pictures of black members of the squad talking about defunding the police and having Congresswoman Omar with her on, of course, so we can also get her some burka, anti-Muslim
yeah.
hate going.
Yeah,
right?
Burka, right.
Another kind of xenophobia and bias. And we're going to see more like that. And I don't know, you mentioned Dan Bice for the break. And the problem is, Dan Bice's latest story, going after Manila Barnes for having security costs.
Which is any person in that position is going to have security.
Well, furthermore, this has become a much more dangerous time for public officials.
Yes.
Do we really think that Wisconsin's first African-American lieutenant governor shouldn't have security or should have less security? Do we really think that since he's incredibly out there in public, that them spending more on his security than Rebecca Clayfish, who was less active and obviously not a black man in a majority white state, that's equivalent. But things have gotten worse for everyone. I think Rebecca Clayfish now would probably have more security. But here's the other thing no one wants to say, and certainly Dan Bice will not say, and that is, but the FBI says this is why they want to defund the FBI, in addition to them daring to investigate their leader for clear crime, what look like from the public record currently look like clear crimes, or certainly prima facie evidence of clear crimes, that most of the violence in this country is coming from the right. That's lied about on Fox News. They're claiming, trying to give a moral equivalence between a largely peaceful movement, Black Lives Matter, and the insurrectionists. There is not one. The FBI has been reporting for well over a decade, to a couple decades, that the greatest threat of violence and the greatest amount of violence is coming from right-wing movements in this country. And, of course, they're going to target a Manila Barnes. So, we have Rebecca Clayfish saying they got security because of Act 10 and the protests. Those protests were entirely peaceful, and I'm sure they got a few threats, but nothing like what's happening now where election officials are resigning around the country because of the threats they're getting, and librarians, for goodness sake. I mean, this is why I call it pre-fascism. This is the kind of atmosphere that's created by these fascist movements before they take power and full control over the state. Then they do worse.
You know, Dr. Craig, we do know it's going to get ugly. It's going to get really nasty. And I still don't believe, even with all of that having been said, I don't see any way, Dr. Craig, if you look solely at the things that Ron Johnson has done and has not done, he's certainly not deserving. You don't come out and say from the beginning, I'm going to be, I'm not going to do any more than two terms, and constantly say that. And then as time comes closer, you realize you're drunk with power too. You want to be a career politician, the very thing that you condemned everybody else for. If nothing else, we know who he is. And he's not deserving of a third opportunity. Got to go to a break. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. What do you say? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, I've been beating the drum about the times we are in right now. And is it an exaggeration to say that this is a perilous time in this nation's history, as there are people who are willing to make threats to, as you stated, librarians, people who are in public schools, I don't care who it is, because they believe in one man who clearly, Dr. Craig, is not deserving of trust. Donald Trump is not a man that's trustworthy. And yet there are people, he can call his mob at any point in time when things don't go his way in a childish manner. And yet we've got these people who don't have control over their own thoughts, Dr. Craig, who are heavily armed, and people want to somehow compare that group of people to, you know, Antifa or Black Lives Matter. How can people be so, how can people, you know, be so delusional, Dr. Craig, to think there's some comparison with a group of heavily armed people who are threatening to overthrow our government with people who are doing their what is right to protest things in this country?
Well, I think the delusion started much earlier than Trump. Trump has just taken advantage of it. And he is a kind of a promotional genius, kind of in the P.T. Barnum mold. It is sort of like in the 80s when people were doubting Reagan's intelligence. Yeah, Reagan didn't understand a whole lot of policy, but he did know something about how to tell a story to the public, right? And Trump, unfortunately, knows even more dangerous skills than that, insurrectionary skills. But this goes back, really, to a decision a lot of the wealthiest people in this country made, and big corporate leaders in the 70s, that they wanted to grab more of the benefits of American growth, of American prosperity, and they didn't like the fact that the post-war era was the most equal era in terms of economic equality and lifting all boats that we had ever had in American history. And they set about creating a movement to change that and build the power to rig the economy and create a new Gilded Age, and that's what they have done. But it's a Gilded Age where the wealth is even more fantastic and the income gaps even worse than they were in the late 19th century when the Gilded Age occurred, when we had the quote-unquote robber barons. And part of what they did is disinformation. That is to say, this started with the tobacco industry, the lead paint industry, and other lead makers. Ultimately, fossil fuels around climate change, which is the deadliest of all. But they didn't like the fact that we were moving to a government that would actually use science in order to act in the public interest and to have public regulations of all of this, and that they had to undermine the facts themselves. But then paired with that, Earl, was an othering. We're going to build hatred and fear of someone else, and this came out of a lot of the tumult of the 60s, the current version of it. Right. So it's very old, and it's the way humans are wired, unfortunately. That other band is the problem. We're the good band, right, when we were in bands of hunter-gatherers. So this is deeply wired. So things like Ronald Reagan's welfare queens, right? Things such as the terror about crime and super predators, I'll cite, you know, things like the Hillary Clinton had said, right?
Right.
That stuff, that othering, that was done by corporate America, by mainline Republicans to get power and, frankly, to get people to vote against their own economic interests and give more wealth to the wealthiest among us and lose it themselves, for themselves and their children. But you had to, to do that, you had to, like, create this hatred where the problem was the people in Milwaukee, right? We know that's coded, right? And it, right. It's coded and it's recoded all the time. So then Trump came and took over this and supercharged it. We saw it with the Tea Party and how that pre-Trump was sicked upon Obama and the Affordable Care Act and swamped congressional town hall hearings and affected a wave election for Republicans in 2010, where they gerrymandered the state of Wisconsin for at least 12 years now with the U.S. Supreme Court decision. So Trump took it over, but the hatred was there, and we still have an ultra-wealthy elite and a corporate class that apparently don't feel threatened by this because they keep funding these folks.
You know, Dr. Craig, the threats that are being made should be taken seriously, you know, especially after January 6th. And so the fact that there are people who are willing to carry out the threats, Dr. Craig, there's got to be a way to break the backs of this. And even if Donald Trump doesn't even get a chance to run, these people are still there, Dr. Craig. And how do you somehow rewire those people?
I think it's going to be a threat for a long time. We have to defeat them and prevent them from taking control of government right now. That's the threat. I think that atrophy of democracy has been going on and for a lot longer time. This is just could be some of the final stages if we're not careful and if we don't win elections right now. These are very consequential elections, but it's still going to be there to be exploited. I mean, primetime Fox News has gotten scarier and scarier. It is looking more and more like fascist propaganda from the 20s and 30s, not just Kirk Carlson. I was looking at watching Sean Hannity yesterday. It was unbelievable. Full-out attacks on the FBI as some sort of deep state that was running politics, the Democratic Party. It was unbelievable stuff. And you'll get Ron DeSantis, Earl. I mean, Ron DeSantis is throwing people in jail who were told that they could vote. There was a referendum in Florida that gave voting rights back to former felons, and they've been messing with it legislatively, even though it passed overwhelmingly, and the rules are complicated. They're arresting people with SWAT teams sweeping into their houses who were told they could vote and were approved as voters. It is that is what we're there. So, and he's the replacement for Trump if Trump was not to make it to 2024. So this is going to go on for a long time, but we need to defeat them now and then hold more and more power. I think the figuring out what to do with a violent and misled population when Fox News continues to build it and social media continues to build it, there's going to be something that's going on for the rest of our lives, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is to even conceive of the fact that our government seems to not be able to respond in a proper manner with these people and who are making these kinds of threats to government employees. For heaven's sakes, Dr. Craig, we've got to be stronger. And maybe at some point in time, the government will be. You know, Joe Biden is pushing back. President Biden, in the speech last night, clearly is getting stronger. You know, I, as I said earlier in the show, I was one who thought that, you know, he was not up for the task and he should be gone. But it seems like, Dr. Craig, he's kind of turning the corner. He's saying the right things now that need to be said. And you know, maybe that's might be the rallying cry.
I mean, he's passed the most ambitious agenda we've seen in half a century, even though it's not all that he wants, and he wants more. If we can add Senate seats, including Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, those two, then he can add more. But he also, I take President Biden seriously when he says he decided to run for president after Charlottesville, after the white supremacist rioting and murder of a progressive protester in Charlottesville.
That ran over the city
in Virginia, where University of Virginia is located. So kind of the Madison of Virginia minus the Capitol, right? They've made their flagship state university. And he does. He understands the threat to democracy. You got to give it to him, whether you agreed with everything he supported in his long Senate career. The man believes deeply in the American system of government, and he sees it under threat, and he's willing to say it. And it is interesting how he is. He gets prodded and pushed for not being bold enough. Then he is bold, and a lot of the establishment media attacks him for going too far, right?
Yes.
There's like a no-win situation for him. But I think he is finding his feet. I'm a little concerned about his embrace of, we're going to be the Law and Order party because we're pro-FBI. I mean, what does that mean?
Right?
And if you go on Hannity, like last night, and this is all the time on Hannity and Carlson, all they're talking about is FBI whistleblowers that have shown that this is all a political setup on Trump. You know those whistleblowers.
Yes.
There are a lot of FBI folks who are MAGA, and they're anonymous. And it's like the Secret Service agent, the one that became friends with Trump, who is now retired and still not testified on what happened to the missing text messages or what happened when Trump tried to grab the steering wheel of the White House limousine and direct them to the Capitol to be part of the insurrection.
Dr. Craig, so is it safe to say you clearly see this as a major threat to our democracy, to this nation? This is not hyperbole. This is real.
Oh, yeah, and here's what it is. A stable, mature democracy depends on having a conservative party that believes in a democracy, that believes it can win under democratic form of government with majority rule. And it was a huge stage when the Tories, that's a conservative party in Great Britain in the 19th century, came to that conclusion and agreed to, you know, universal suffrage, because that took a long time in Great Britain. And we have had that in the United States. It took a while to sort out which would be the conservative party. It became the Republican Party. That was not clear in the early decades of the 20th century, that they at least accepted the basic for a democracy. Now, they've been chipping away at that. The voter suppression we saw states around the country do, including Wisconsin with Scott Walker, that was chipping away at it. They wanted to chip away at majority rule. But it's another layer, another level to go and then say that we can abrogate elections, that we can have false electors, that the vice president can prevent the certification of the rightful winner of the election. There's increasing polling, Earl, that a lot of conservatives don't want majority rule. And in fact, in Colorado, conservatives have an amendment that would give rural counties more votes in the legislature than urban counties. In other words, just like we have in the U.S. Senate, right, where the Dakotas have doubled the number of U.S. senators in California. That is what their movement doesn't believe in democracy, and that's why there's a threat, Earl. And if your conservative party doesn't believe in democracy, you have an unstable democracy that's under threat.
You know, Dr. Craig, at the same time, our nation is struggling with some things. The involvement with Ukraine, which is real, the conversations about eventually maybe, you know, what's happening in Taiwan and our involvement there. And we can talk about those outside issues all we want to. It's what's happening inside of our country that's a major threat, the biggest threat to the American people. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Actions Online. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my good friend, Dr. Executive Director, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. And Jeff, hey, Jeff, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You have a question or comment?
Earl, this is Andy from Beaverdam, and I just wanted to point out everything that Dr. Craig has mentioned over the last hour here is true, and it seems like a monumental task to try to get people to know what truth is and what really is taking place, and that they should look at things a little bit deeper and realize that they have to vote in their own best interest against all these forces that are trying to, why would anybody believe that a guy on The Apprentice, a narcissist guy, would be a good guy to become president? You know, I don't know how that, you know, I thought it was funny at first, and then when he got elected, November of 16, I thought, oh my God, we're in big trouble now. So that's just the comment I've got. I don't know. It's fascinating, but depressing at the same time.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig has said that part of, you know, the stick of Donald Trump, he's a genius underneath all of these things. Totally dismissed him as being ignorant, and apparently he's not that, Dr. Craig.
But I think that's the case as far as Donald Trump is, but it's a different kind of promotional genius. It doesn't fit into normal political categories. That's why traditional politicians are baffled by his moves. I mean, he's not just bumbling around. He really did try to carry off an insurrection. He almost did, okay? So there's a method to his madness. He is driving at something. He's driving at something right now with the FBI and fomenting hatred and violence against it for daring to investigate him. And so I think it's partly, look, we live in a corporate media culture, including the way people are entertained. And people have less of the social connections and connections to local civic groups than they used to throughout American history. It used to be much more of a nation of joiners, that's the term they used to use, than we are now. And so people's reality is streaming TV, that they think Martin Sheen is president. I mean, I don't think they really do, but you see what I mean, yeah. Right? In other words, these are our leaders. They think that the most brilliant lawyers in America are the actors on Law and Order and the various spinoffs of Law and Order. And so what happens is, yeah, in that world, The Apprentice is qualified to be president. He's this big, powerful person who supposedly built this billions in wealth, though he didn't. We know that. I mean, this has been going on for a while. Minnesota elected a professional wrestler as governor.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura.
California elected the Terminator to be their governor, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Pennsylvania doesn't look like they'll make a TV doctor. Dr. Oz, senator, but he won the nomination, didn't he?
Herschel Walker. Georgia, yeah, Herschel Walker, right.
Other than being a well-known celebrity. And so that's a problem we have, is that how many voters actually have met a leader or have experience with what leadership really means?
Dr. Craig, as we move down this road, and it's a road that is a winding, harrowing road that I don't know how we even get to turn that around, because the people who believe in those things truly do believe in those things. And I just don't think, Dr. Craig, they understand the full impact of the damage that it does to the future of this nation, the way the nation is viewed globally. People are looking at this nation and looking at it as a nation in decline. And the more we have people who are willing to stand up and say, yeah, I love Donald Trump, the elections were stolen, the more people are saying, you know, that nation is in trouble.
Yeah, I don't believe decline is inevitable because of the incredible potential of this country still. But it's hard. I guess you see it in individuals. You see someone who with a very productive person, you see them start to decline. But sometimes they get a second wind and they find a new passion, right? And all of a sudden they're doing great things. I think that we need to get there. We kind of got a little bit complacent that we had solved a lot of problems. That was the end of ideology after the Berlin Wall fell, right? Which, of course, there's no end to ideology. And so we need to we don't face harder challenges than they did during the Civil War, during the Great Depression, during World War II. But we need to we need to rebuild democracy. And we need to, part of democracy is solving our nation's problems. I've said this to you before, Earl. The threat to democracy is not just the mechanism of voting. The threat to democracy is if democracy can't deliver for people, it's discredited and it becomes an unuseful form of government. It has to deliver. So it has to start delivering, and that's on the biggest challenges. That's why the breakthrough President Biden got with the Inflation Reduction Act is hugely important as a prelude to what can happen if we get a bigger majority and why these elections are important. But then we need to have more, and President Biden, to his credit, has not said that sitting on his laurels. He's saying he wants paid family medical leave. He wants child care affordable for every family in this country. He wants to return the child tax credit that lowered child poverty by over 40% in this country when it was in effect. And he wants to do even more on climate and on creating an economy through a green transition that actually does create an equal economy, cuts down on racial, on economic inequality and the tremendous and unacceptable levels of racial inequality in this country, and eliminates them ultimately.
Hey Dr. Craig, am I going to see you at Labor Fest?
I will be there. The question is, I often am the driver for our state AFL-CIO president, Stephanie Bloomingdale, but she doesn't know her schedule because President Biden's coming to Labor
right.
Fest. So I'll be around there, but whether I'm also taking her to other Labor Fests around the state or whether we got to hang because she needs to be with our president
right.
to be determined.
Well, we're gonna do a live broadcast from Labor Fest. I'm excited. Long overdue.
Well, I'll be around. So, in addition, I could probably get President Bloomingdale, the president of AFL-CIO.
Yeah, I will be looking forward to it. Let's work on it.
Okay, great.
All right, I'll see you later. That's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Everything.